Introduction. This lesson provides a brief overview of the theme to help the patient regulate body temperature. It is expected that you have already gone through the lesson in anatomy and physiology, reviewing temperature regulation. It is particularly important to study the curriculum and textbooks from the reading list for supplementary information. This study guide is designed to help you understand the subject matter, provide practice student questions, and to assist you to deliver evidence-based practice for managing patient care. Learning outcomes. After studying this topic, you should be able to explain the regulation of body temperature and factors which affect this. Explain normal and abnormal body temperature. Explain important observations and nursing measures for patients with changes in temperature. Observe and control the temperature and document normal temperature conditions and deviations from this. Help the patient to restore normal body temperature and prevent complications. Document observations and nursing actions. Regulation of body temperature. Introduction. Helping the patient to regulate body temperature is an important and challenging task for the nurse. Generally, we protect ourselves from unpleasant changes in body temperature by modifying our own behaviour. As nurses, we think and act for other people who are in a condition where they are unable to care for themselves, for example, young children and unconscious patients. The nurse must observe, identify, assess, and document the essential nursing care given to patients with various disorders of body temperature. This can be based on temperature measurement and blood samples, and this information provides important clinical details about the patient's condition. Body temperature can be used as an indicator of whether the patient is unwell or is deteriorating. Fever has long been a familiar symptom of disease. In cases of unfavourable changes in temperature, the nurse initiates various nursing actions in order to increase patient comfort and restore normal body temperature. The prerequisites for creating constant body temperature is to achieve a balance between the heat your body produces and releases in relation to the surroundings. Temperature regulation is one of the homeostatic mechanisms of the body. When we refer to body temperature, we mean the temperature inside the body, i.e. the core temperature. Core temperature is what we are assessing when we perform a temperature measurement. The core temperature is not the same throughout the body. Core temperature differs from the temperature of the body's outer skin extremities. Hand temperature is about 30 to 33 degrees Celsius. We get chills at about 17 degrees Celsius, and we burn ourselves at a temperature above 43 degrees Celsius. The body temperature is considered a vital sign, and it is measured in degrees Celsius or Fahrenheit. The skin, along with blood circulation, is involved with temperature regulation. The more blood flowing through the skin, the warmer we become, and the more heat is lost from the skin. The temperature is controlled by the hypothalamus, which acts as the body's thermostat. The thermostat has a set point and, together with several other regulatory mechanisms, is co-responsible for keeping the body temperature relatively constant in spite of the surroundings. Heat production and heat loss. For the body to function normally, a person depends on a fairly constant body temperature, around 37 degrees Celsius. Most of what we eat is converted to heat in the body. The more active we are, the more energy we burn, and the higher the heat production. We create heat by increasing blood flow, increasing metabolism, muscle contraction, and hormonal influences. We lose heat through sweating and vasodilation. The body increases blood circulation to the skin and we lose heat through the skin. Cold environments and less clothing also help reduce heat. There are four physical principles that are important to understand in order to assist patients with excess heat or attempting to prevent hypothermia. Radiation. This is the transfer of heat by infrared rays between a warmer object and a cooler one with no direct contact. The body loses heat by radiating more infrared waves than it absorbs from cooler objects. If the surrounding objects are warmer than the body absorbs more heat than it loses. A newborn baby should be dried and wrapped immediately after birth to prevent heat loss. This is because the child has a large body surface area compared to its body weight and loses body heat easily. When people curl up, the body's surface gets less and thus prevents heat loss. Conduction. This is the heat exchange that occurs between molecules of two materials that are in direct contact with each other. 3% of the body's heat is lost by conduction to solid materials, such as a chair or clothing. To increase heat loss by conduction, cold sheets or ice on the forehead can be used. Heat can also be gained via conduction, for instance during a hot bath. Fat and muscle tissue protects and insulates the body against heat loss. Convection. This is the transfer of heat by movement of a gas or a liquid between areas of different temperatures. The contact of air or water with the body results in heat transfer by both conduction and convection. When cool air makes contact with the body, it becomes warm and less dense and is carried away by convection currents. Warm air is lighter than cold air and rises. It is replaced by colder air and the heat is lost. The faster that air moves, for example by creating a breeze or using a fan, the faster the rate of convection. This is important to consider when trying to cool a person down using fan therapy. Evaporation. This refers to the conversion of a liquid to a vapour. In normal resting conditions, about 22% of heat loss occurs through evaporation of approximately 700 ml of water per day, 300 ml in exhaled hair, and 400 ml from the skin surface. This is referred to as insensible water loss. Evaporation is energy intensive and provides the body's main defense against overheating during exercise. This process can be reduced by high humidity. Temperature changes. Fever. In nursing terms, fever is referred to as pyrexia. Pyrexia is rarely dangerous, but persistent pyrexia may be fatal. Pyrexia is not a disease in itself, but the body's own defences against infections by stimulating the immune system. The immune system works better at 39 degrees Celsius because there is an increased antibody production in the body. Additionally, fever increases blood circulation and therefore gives better opportunity to eliminate pathogens and to influence the living conditions of the microorganisms. Substances that evoke fevers are called pyrogens. Pyrogens affect the temperature regulation centre, namely the hypothalamus, so that the centre is set at a higher temperature level. Bacteria, viruses and toxins from certain infectious agents enter the body from the outside and cause the release of exogenous pyrogens. Certain chemical reactions and tissue damage in the body can also release pyrogens, and it is referred to as endogenous pyrogens. The chills in fevers are known as rigors, and this happens because the thermostat in the hypothalamus is suddenly put on a higher level. The temperature of the circulating blood does not match the higher level in the thermostat, and other reactions are automatically initiated as the body temperature should be in accordance with the thermostat level. A person with pyrexia can therefore feel cold, but the body tries to produce heat by the person shivering, and they may curl up and put on warm clothes. When the body temperature reaches the level of the thermostat, the muscle activity to create heat production reduces and the shivering subsides. The chills or rigor is an unpleasant experience for both patient and caregiver. Temperature measurement must be done during the episode and afterwards, and the nature and duration of the rigor must be carefully observed. The nurse should liaise with the medical team regarding treatment. Febrile seizures. Febrile seizures can occur when a person has a temperature of 40 degrees Celsius or over. Most frequently, febrile seizures occur in young children, but generally decrease from age 3 onwards. A seizure can be frightening and presents in the same manner as an epileptic seizure, but generally febrile seizures are harmless. In all cases of febrile seizures, the medical team should be consulted in order to rule out any other underlying causes. Heat stroke, hyperthermia. Heat stroke occurs when there is a total failure of heat regulation. The body is supplied with more heat than it is able to get rid of. If the temperature rises above 41 degrees Celsius, the hypothalamus stops regulating the temperature and the effects can be fatal. Hypothermia. The opposite of hyperthermia is hypothermia. Hypothermia is a general cooling of the body to below 35 degrees Celsius. In hypothermia, the cell functions are reduced. The nervous system can be affected quickly and it could lead to cognitive impairment, fatigue and confusion. Older people are particularly vulnerable to rapid decline due to hypothermia. Factors influencing the body temperature. Time of day. When we are asleep, we have decreased heat production, metabolism and activity. It is not uncommon to observe sweat in sleeping people, especially children, at a lower temperature than usual. Body temperature is usually lowest between the hours of 2 a.m. and 6 a.m. During the day, the temperature rises between 0.5 and 1 degree Celsius. By measuring temperature in the morning and in the afternoon, one expects a higher temperature in the afternoon. Age. Children, newborns and premature babies have little ability to react to temperature fluctuations and thus have little ability to keep the body temperature stable. The temperature in children can be up to 1 degree Celsius higher than normal. Older people's ability to maintain stable and normal body temperature is reduced due to decreased temperature sensation. Heat loss is greater when the amount of subcutaneous fat is reduced, in addition to reduced elasticity of blood vessels and a decreased ability to sweat. Older people can be unwell without a pyrexia and can quickly develop hypothermia as previously discussed. Adult temperature often rises during heavy muscle activity. Generally, we adjust to temperature fluctuations by adjusting our environment, for example, clothing and room temperature. Hormonal effects. Increased production of thyroxine increases metabolism and thus body temperature. Decreased production of thyroxine has the opposite effect. Epinephrine can increase the temperature. Fertile women often have a higher temperature of about 0.5 degrees Celsius 2 days before ovulation. This phenomenon is used diagnostically with women who have fertility problems. Women are asked to take the temperature for a few months to see if they have a high temperature to assess when they are ovulating. Nutritional influences. Nutritional intake can cause temperature to rise by 0.1 to 0.3 degrees Celsius. The rise in temperature occurs approximately 20 to 30 minutes after a meal. People who are malnourished are more susceptible to hypothermia due to reduced body fat. Dehydration can also increase body temperature. Muscle activity. Powerful muscle activity can increase the temperature considerably. This stabilizes after about half an hour. Environments. In hot environments, body temperature can increase without meaning that a person is unwell, as it's the body's natural adjustment to the environment. However, if you stay in cold areas, the body temperature normally does not change, except in children and older people, who may experience a drop in the body temperature rapidly, so need to be observed closely. Disease states. Bacteria, viruses, toxins, and chemical reactions of the body's inflammatory response may cause pyrexia. Tissue damage following a myocardial infarction is usually associated with a pyrexia. Surgical procedures. A pyrexia immediately after surgery is normal. Generally, it stabilizes within 3 to 4 days. However, a persistent pyrexia or sudden rise in temperature 3 to 4 days after surgery can indicate an infection. Medicines and drugs. Medicines can affect the circulation or metabolism and thus affect the body temperature. Checking and observing the body temperature of the patient. Measurement of temperature should be performed when there are objective and subjective signs where it is necessary. The purpose is to determine the normal core temperature of the person or to establish if the temperature is high or low. Additionally, one may check for various patterns of pyrexia or if the pyrexia is indicative of illness or to establish if current treatment is effective in treating an underlying condition. Thus, the monitoring of the temperature is to observe for a reduction in the temperature readings. Measuring of temperature can be made as a single assessment, regularly over time or as a continuous control. If the temperature is measured repeatedly, it is important to use the same type of measurement, method, and preferably at the same time of day. This is important to get an accurate temperature curve. It is important to be consistent in order to avoid errors. If various methods have been used to take the temperature, not only the value should be documented, but also changing of the method must be noted. Core temperature is measured accurately in the lower part of the esophagus, bladder, or pulmonary artery. These methods, however, require sophisticated equipment, and therefore such measurements tend to be used in speciality departments, intensive care medicine, and during major surgery. Body temperature is usually measured in several places on the body, and the most common methods used are oral, axilla, and tympanic measurement. Benefits of axilla measurement is that it is a simple method. However, it is considered to be less accurate than other methods. The axilla should be dry and the thermometer must be high up in the armpit, an arm tightly held to the side, otherwise the thermometer can easily become dislodged. Whilst this method is considered less accurate, it is a good method when other types of measurements are excluded. When using oral measurement, it is important that the patient has not eaten, drunk, or smoked in the past 10 minutes prior to the measurement, because it can affect the temperature reading. During the procedure, the patient must not talk and the mouth must be kept closed. This can be difficult for certain patients. For example, patients with reduced nasal airways, cognitively impaired patients, patients with epilepsy, patients with reduced consciousness, and patients receiving oxygen therapy. A more accurate method that is commonly used in clinical practice is temperature measurement using a tympanic thermometer. The thermometer is inserted into the ear and the core temperature is taken from the tympanic membrane. Advantages of using this method is that it takes a short time and is not associated with a particular patient discomfort. However, the method can be difficult to use in small children and in those with infections of the ear. There are many different thermometers to measure body temperature. It is important to be aware of the purpose, advantages and disadvantages of the methods and the contraindications for the various places where measurements can be made. The patient must be well informed about the measurement, where the thermometer will be and how long the process will take. The thermometer must be read correctly and the results documented accurately in the nursing documentation. The same type of measurement, time and methods should be used. If not, discrepancies should be noted. To summarise, some methods of temperature measurement are considered more reliable than others, and this should be considered when choosing the method to be used. As discussed, the individual patient and their preferences should also be considered when selecting the method. When conducting the measurement, the aim is that values measured approximates core temperature. Whatever the type of thermometer and where the body temperature is measured, the process must be carried out hygienically and safely before, during, and after the procedure. Nurses should consider, is it a normal and correct finding? What factors may have affected the outcome? How do the results compare with the other temperature recordings and observations? What nursing actions do I need to take? Principles for nursing actions. If one understands the different mechanisms involved in temperature control, it is also easier to understand the guiding principles for various nursing actions that are initiated. In case of pyrexia, it is important to observe the general condition and state of consciousness of the patient. Measuring the temperature, recording the pulse rate, respirations and blood pressure, assess the patient for cyanosis and or pain. The first principle for nursing action when caring for a patient with a pyrexia is to, number one, increase the heat loss through conduction, radiation, evaporation and convection, i.e. to reduce clothing and bedding, have a fan in the room, low humidity in the room, a room temperature of about 18 to 20 degrees Celsius is favourable to lose heat. Or, number two, reduce heat production by make sure that the patient is calm, can rest, sleep and relieve physical and mental distress. Try to reduce disturbances. You have to, number three, maintain adequate fluids and nutritional intake. Suggest cold, nutritious drinks. Small, easy, digestible meals. Ask for the patient's preferences. Record strict fluid balance. Observe skin condition and symptoms of dehydration. If indicated, provide oxygen therapy as prescribed. It is also important to, number 4, prevent complications and avoid dehydration, pressure ulcers, other complications of bed rest, dehydrated mucosa, provide regular mouth care, and observe for signs of secondary infections. Finally, as a nurse, you need to provide clear explanations to the patients and relatives, give good physical care and support with activities of daily living, provide reassurance, provide a nurse call bell. Nursing care during a rigor. Number 1. Reduce heat loss optimally by supplying warmth through blankets, clothes, warm drinks, and maintain a good temperature in the room during the shivering episode of the rigor. Ensure the patient rests. Provide reassurance and information. When the rigor is over, the patient is treated using the same nursing actions as shown when caring for a patient with pyrexia. Following a rigor, the patient must be observed carefully. Body temperature is measured when shivering begins and after the shivering has subsided. When the cause of the rigor is unknown, blood cultures may be requested by a doctor to establish if any microorganisms caused the rigor. Febrile seizures. You must ensure that the patient's airway is maintained. The patient's safety must be maintained to prevent any accidental falls or other accidents during the seizures. The temperature measurement may be taken during and after the seizure. Since the event is often frightening, the nurse must provide good information and support for both children and parents. If the child has frequent febrile seizures, it is often recommended to give antipyretics at home when the child gets a high temperature. Hypothermia. Warmth should be provided to the patient by the same principles as for a rigor. One must be particularly careful to prevent hypothermia in neonates, children, and older people. Summary. Body temperature is a useful clinical assessment of the condition of a patient and may indicate underlying disease or infections and provide useful baseline information about the patient's physical state. Study questions. What determines the set point in relation to body temperature? What are the definitions of the term normal body temperature and core temperature? Describe the balance between heat production and heat loss. Explain how fever occurs. Describe the various factors that affect body temperature and why. What kind of problems do newborns have regarding body temperature? Mention important nursing actions. Explain temperature regulation in older people. Consider the different methods of temperature measurement and why would you choose each method. Why do hypothermia and hypothermia arise? Explain what could be the cause of elevated temperature after a surgery. Explain what you have to observe in connection with fever. Where do you measure the core body temperature? Describe the main principles of nursing care to patients with the following: pyrexia, all ages; fever seizure or a febrile seizure; chills or rigor; hypothermia.